It's Rick Astley and Never Going to Give You Up. Now, the gliders are off and running permanently Monday morning. They're already doing the test runs and people are reporting very favourably on the glider service, but the real test will come on Monday morning. And of course, we'll want your feedback here on the programme. Now, the private hire taxis won't be allowed into the bus lanes generally in Belfast. Had been a suggestion, of course, that they would have been allowed in, but they won't be able to use the bus lanes. And indeed, this comes from the Department of Infrastructure. They're saying that private hire taxis will not be allowed in the Belfast bus lanes. This hasn't pleased the MP for West Belfast, Paul Maskey. Paul, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Why do you think it's so important to have the private hire taxis in the bus lanes?
Well, I suppose, first of all, a promise and an agreement was already reached with them in March, so I think that's the first point that has to be made. I also believe that taxi drivers are ordinary working class men and women trying to provide a service to the public as well. They're also trying to make a living. This will make it much more difficult for them, not being allowed in the bus lanes for 12 hours every day, 6 days a week. So I think that is a big issue for them. And I've spoke to them in the last number of days. In fact, I met a number this morning as well. And they're quite angry about this because, but they're saying quite clearly, there was an agreement made in March to do this, but yet the department has reneged on that decision several days before the BRT goes live. And I think that's bad faith on behalf of the department. Taxi drivers believe it's bad faith as well. They were given a commitment. They were given assurances that they'd be allowed in. Yet, so their livelihoods is going to be damaged with this decision at the last moment by the Peter May, the permanent secretary of the Department for Infrastructure. So I think it's done wrong. And obviously, I don't like when promises are broke, nor do taxi drivers, nor does anyone else for that matter. So this is a clear case of bad faith from the department.
Yeah, just to be clear, the black taxis in West Belfast, they can use the bus lanes.
They can indeed. They've always been allowed to use it, and that will continue, so there's no issue there whatsoever. This is about private, I suppose, private taxis.
Now, we're talking about bus lanes generally, but your area is West Belfast, and I'm just thinking, if you have the buses and the gliders and the black taxis and the private hire taxis and the motorbikes and the bicycles in the bus lanes, you'd probably be safer not in the bus lane.
No, I wouldn't think so, Frank. And there was a 3-month trial already given, going back last year, which, in my view, and I was on the roads and was sitting in the heavy traffic lane, the bus lanes worked quite well with regards to the taxis using them. And I think that worked well. The big problem that is that scheme wasn't long enough. The department themselves said that that 3-month trial period wasn't long enough, and that's why they needed a further period to trial it out, obviously, to see if it worked or not. And that's why they had assured the taxi drivers and myself in March of this year that a further 12-month period would be given to the taxis allowed into the bus lanes, with the possibility of a further extension of 6 months. So that could have been a total of 18 months, and the department has reneged. So it did work, in my view. There was no issues with it whatsoever, but the department wanted to explore more, and that's why they had agreed for the further 12 months. So I can't understand why at the last moment, and it's taken them for a number of days just prior to the BRT going live, that they've reneged on their decision. I think it's wrong, Frank. And people who I've spoken to, many taxi drivers in West Belfast and beyond, have contacted me since yesterday and said that they are absolutely gobsmacked by this, and this is going to have a detrimental impact on their livelihoods.
Of course, if the Sinn Féin Infrastructure Minister had still been doing his work, you probably would have got it signed off.
Well, we all want ministers in place in Stormont, Frank, and you know that as well as I do. We've worked very hard over many years to try and make all the right decisions, but unfortunately, the DUP didn't, and it's based on equality issues that brought the Assembly down. That's a matter for the DUP to get back and obviously to try and address all those issues that they've failed to for many, many years. You just look at some of the issues with regards to RHI and equality rights as well. But that's a different matter for a different day, Frank. This decision was taken in March. The Permanent Secretary for Department for Infrastructure has reneged on his decision and made a decision this week. So it's a falsehood to say that the Permanent Secretary and the departments can't take a decision. They have taken a decision this week, which is a wrong decision, in my view, and it shouldn't be made. So they have taken decisions again, which is wrong. And I think that the department themselves have many answers to questions I suppose that they have to ensure that they're giving this, basically, to the taxi drivers, and also, more importantly, to the people who the taxi drivers bring to hospitals, bring to doctor surgeries, bring to schools, and bring to for shelving. That's a big, massive issue that still needs to be addressed. And I think the department themselves, Frank, have left themselves open to a legal challenge at this stage, because I have it written from 7th of March this year that taxis will be allowed into all the bus lanes.
Now, I know we could have a long and detailed discussion about the rights and wrongs of Stormont, and even about RHI this morning when it's in the news, but I don't want to go down that road with you, Paul Maskey. I just want to concentrate on this pressing issue of how things are going to work on Monday morning. You're in favour of the bus lanes. You think the bus lanes are working well. You want the private taxis into the bus lanes. But a lot of your constituents who have shops all along the Falls and Anderson Road, they deplore the bus lanes.
Thanks. I mean, I've made representations to the Department of Infrastructure over the last number of years. We have, and I have certainly raised concerns about the length of time of bus lanes and whether they're actually needed on a Saturday. I've actually met them even as soon as last week again on some of the issues with regards to the parking, because the department has still a number of outstanding issues that they need to address. Number one being parking. Number two, the hanging time, which they've set now for the bus lanes, but not allowing the taxis into them. People are struggling at the moment with regards to where do the park, how do the park, and we have met with the department to try and come up with some solutions for especially the Falls Road part of this route as well, because that's probably one of the more difficult issues for them to try and resolve. But we're working with them on that, and we hope that they do, because the first thing for BRT, it was supposed to bring more footfall to the area, and it's supposed to get people out of the cars and into the public transport, and I hope that does work. But I suppose that remains to be seen, because if the department has not resolved all the parking issues, it certainly has reneged on the taxis being allowed into the bus lanes. And then I think that sets it off to a bad start. And I think that's a very unfortunate reality where we face ourselves into now, because I want BRT, public transport, I want the black taxis, I want the public taxis, all to make a living and all to provide that service to the public. I want to see a first-class public service. Where for transport, for people, whether it's the hospitals, whether it's the schools, whether it's the employment or wherever, I want to see a first-class service. I think the department has got off just days before the rapid transit goes live. I think it's got off to a very bad start. And of course, they need to resolve the other issues, which I've raised with them in the past, and I've raised with them as late as last week with regards to parking issues, regarding the length of time, etc. So they have a lot of work to do to resolve some of the issues, and they also have to ensure that they get the confidence of people to use the glider service, and I hope they do.
But do you think legally they can go with what you want them to do, considering the Buick judicial review and all of that, regarding the decision that civil servants can't take this decision in the absence of a minister?
Absolutely, Frank. They have already took the decision in March to grant this. What they have done now, even in light of the Buick decision, is they have taken a decision this week to refuse the taxes and to overturn a decision that they've already made. So that's up to them. And I think it's a cop-out from the department not to be allowing the taxes in and taking this decision this week. I really do, Frank. And I think that Peter May and the Department for Infrastructure have the ability to make these decisions and obviously to ensure that they provide a first-class service. Other departments take decisions on a day and daily basis. Okay. Why has the Department for Infrastructure reneged on a decision? Remember, there's thousands of taxi drivers across this city. There's even more thousands of people who use those taxis every single day and evening, and they have to have their rights protected as well. To renege on a decision at this very last moment is bad faith, and I think the department has to be called out on that.
Okay, Paul Maskey, thank you very much indeed. Do you agree with the analysis? Do let us know. 02890 333 105. Michael Dornan represents the Metro Bus Drivers, and he is indeed someone who will be keen for the service to work smoothly. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Relieved that the private hire taxis aren't going to be in the bus lanes?
Well, we welcome this announcement, and those that use and depend on public transport, which is around 50% of people on our roads, will also be delighted with this announcement.
The people who are travelling by private hire taxi aren't going to be that pleased if they're sitting in queues and queues of traffic and the clock is continuing to tick.
Well, there's a couple of points on that. Firstly, can I just make you aware of the government, and not Peter May, who's a civil servant, approved this investment because it was part of a long-term intention to make public transport more attractive and affordable, to encourage people who don't need to use their cars out of them and into public transport. And this would reduce the number of cars on our road, improve the ability for commercial vehicles to get about and do their business, and it'll also improve the air quality, which is at a very dangerous level here in Belfast. TransLink is a non-profit making transport company, unlike private hire taxi businesses. It's owned by the public, it's funded by the public, and should be a non-profit and a profitable and affordable service for the public, which is what it is.
Do you think it's going to run smoothly from Monday, or do you think we're going to have to show patience, and patience with a capital P, for a little while?
Well, I'm hoping that it will run smoothly. One point that I would like to make, and I know Paul touched on that, because I can understand Paul being from that area and representing the people from that area, will be under enormous pressure. And I do have a lot of sympathy for traders on these routes. And I'm disappointed that those that created rapid transport didn't provide off-street parking for their customers. I believe they should have done that. I don't know whose failure it was to have that put in along with creating transport, but I do have a lot of sympathy for them.
Okay, Michael, thank you very much indeed. Of course, we'll not judge it until we see how it works, and that this is important, and that's why we'd like your feedback next week on the glider service, on the bus lanes, on the new rules and regulations, the new layout in particular. I want to speak to Sean Beckett, who has a point to make. He's the chair of the Public Hire Coalition, and he wants to speak in regards to this. Sean, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Sean, I'll begin by asking you, just for the benefit of people listening to the programme, the Public Hire Coalition, who do you represent?
We represent the taxis that sit on the taxi ranks in Belfast City Centre.
And just those
the
taxis?
The wheelchair accessible taxis, yes, Frank.
Okay, so what point would you like to make, Sean?
Well, Frank, I was just listening to our little comments, and one of the ones was that private hire are a public service. Private hire aren't a public service. They're a private identity. They're not permitted to be hailed in the street. So they're not. So why do they need the use of the bus lanes? And I know where he's coming from in relation to customers sitting not in the bus lanes but sitting in traffic. But that's always been the quota here since bus lanes have been invented. We also have the infrastructure of the new glider system. Can you imagine how the hold-ups would affect that glider system if we had over 3,000 taxis using the bus lanes within Belfast?
You could argue, Sean, for the glider service to work, for everyone to want to be on the glider, coming from the east or coming from the west, that the best way for it to work is to allow only TransLink transport to be in the bus lane. So the glider has absolute priority and whizzes up and down the road. No one else is allowed in the bus lanes whatsoever. That's the way to make the glider system work. The motorbikes aren't allowed in, the cyclists aren't allowed in, and the black taxis aren't allowed in. If that was the case, I think everyone would want to be on the glider.
So then, Frank, what do we do about the wheelchair users, the people that are hailing and riding, and basically the cyclists, as you say? Where do you put the cyclists? Do you put them in danger and put them in the outer lane?
How many people get in and out of a taxi using a wheelchair off a morning with you? How many times would that have to happen?
Well, you'd be surprised, but I normally only work one location within Belfast, and that's Amelia Street and Great Victoria Street. And I would say roughly every day, maybe 15, 20 wheelchair users.
My argument is, and you know, people will know from listening to this programme, that I'm not a massive fan of bus lanes, and I'm unlikely to start to use public transport, even though I have great respect for public transport. But if we're going to encourage people to get on the glider. We need the glider to be moving as rapidly as it can. So the less people that are in the bus lanes, the better. And, you know, bicycles hold the buses up. That's just a simple fact.
Well, Frank, in some cases they do, but then we have the Department of Infrastructure made a good decision by withdrawing this. And I hope they move forward with implementing the rest of the regulations that they've put in place. But my point being is that this is the black taxis in the town, like the bus services, is a public service. We are there for the public to avail our services at any time.
Okay, Sean, thank you very much indeed. The difference between the public hire, the public service, the private hire, the private service. Sean, thank you. 90333105. Quite a few of you on the text are saying that you don't believe that private hire taxis should be in the bus lane. Others will argue that they should be because they are indeed providing a service to the public. We could go round the houses on this forever. I noticed Leanne, who works with us in the office, she arrived in this morning from way up in the heart of the West, and she said it was an excellent service coming in on the glider this morning. Now, the black taxis were in the bus lane. But the kids aren't back at school yet. And I'm just thinking, if it's going to work, should we? I know, you know, there'll be cyclists who'll be screaming at me. There'll be motorcyclists who think I'm really unfair suggesting this. But if we're absolutely going to get the glider system to work, should the lane not be just for the glider? And then it would be seamless. And other people who don't take the glider, including cyclists, they might be drawn to the glider. People who go by motorbike might think, oh, the glider's brilliant. And of course, people who take their car would be sitting there, chock-a-blocked in the traffic, seeing the glider slide up and down the road, and they'd think, that's a brilliant way to operate. Do let us know. 02890 333 105. Colin has a point that he wants to make. Good morning, Colin.
Morning, Frank. I taxi in Dundonald, and there's one lane all the way into Belfast in these bus lanes. And as we go down, you're sitting in traffic, the meter's going to tick on through all this traffic, and the fare's like nearly £4 more, it can be more sitting all this traffic. Whereas if we could use the bus lanes, the fares would be cheaper, you can get to your customer quicker. And it worked, the 3 months we had the trial, it worked brilliant. And why the infrastructure has turned it down, I can't understand.
How frustrating is it for you as a taxi driver? I'm sure it'll be a real irritant for your passenger as well when they see the buses gliding past and they see the public hire taxis in the lanes also. How frustrating will it be for the fare-paying passenger?
Well, Frank, they're going to be disappointed paying more money for the taxis. They are sitting in traffic. You try to go a different way to avoid the bus lanes, but if you go a longer way, then the meter's still going to be more.
And could you guys not cut them a bit of slack in relation to, you know, the additional cost to please the customer, to keep the customer on board, to ensure the customer doesn't use the glider service?
Well, Frank, that's all in your tax returns, these meters. You have to charge what's on the meter to put it in your returns if it's ever checked. But the DOE, if they stop you, will make sure you had your meter on and what you charged the last customer.
Would you be tempted to use the bus lanes, or is that just being reckless?
That's just reckless, Frank. You're going to get fined, and there's no point in it. If you're caught, it's not worth the risk of doing a training unless it's an emergency or something.
So who are you blaming? Are you blaming the politicians for not being at Stormont, because it looks like as if it would have been signed off, or are you blaming the civil servants for not having common sense and implementing it?
A bit of both, Frank. If the civil servants could sign for it, but then the politicians as well, they are trying to get together again. You need them to get together. But just the point that the black taxi driver made, they have had it their own way for so long. I mean, we pay the same insurance as what a black taxi pays. We do pick people up in the town, but they have to phone us to come and get them. The only time we're allowed to pick up in the town is a Friday and Saturday night at certain times. But I'm public hire. I can pick up the street 3 miles outside of Belfast.
Yeah, explain to me that rule, actually, where are you a private hire or are you public hire all the time?
Taxis are public and private. Frank, I am public, I have public hire insurance, but I can't pick up on a 3 mile radius to Belfast, but I can pick up on the street 3 mile out of Belfast if somebody was me down, as long as I tell my office that I've picked up and where the customer's going.
Yes, but you
but we have,
but you are private hire in terms of the rules for the bus lane.
Yes, the bus lanes. We're not allowed to use the bus lanes.
So this is it, I mean, is it splitting hairs, you know, whenever you hear people from the black taxis coming on here and saying, oh, those guys in the privates, they aren't public, they aren't providing a public service, they're providing a private service. Are they splitting hairs on that?
Yes, they are, Frank. But at the end of the day, you may be private, it's still the public you're lifting. It's still, if we were you to use a bus lane, you can still get to the customer quicker if you're taking somebody in, the fare is going to be cheaper. I mean, it's a win-win situation all around.
And do you not agree with me that if you let everybody into the bus lane, it's nearly going to be quicker to be in the outside lane?
Yeah, well, if you let everybody in, you're not everybody. You have cyclists in the bus lane, which is going to slow the glider down. Taxi, private hire taxi will not slow the glider down.
Yeah, and of course, what you guys are going to do, you're going to drive in whichever lane is moving. That's what you want. You don't want to use the bus lane all the time. You want to use the bus lane when it's convenient to you.
Yes, certainly, Frank. I mean, if somebody's trying to ride, you're not even supposed to go into the bus lane and overtake on the inside because you're going into a bus lane. Where if you use both lanes, you can do it at your own discretion, go into the bus lane or go into the outside lane.
Yeah, I do actually accept your argument. It's a very strong argument. If you are providing a service which is to the public and you're driving a taxi and you're going to be stymied by the rules, it must be very frustrating. And it'll be frustrating for the customers as well who are paying extra money. But the public hire taxis, they're not having any of it because they feel that, as Colin says, they've had it their way for quite a while. You know, I'm not taking sides in this, but I'm wondering if I was in a private hire taxi and was paying more money because the driver wasn't allowed into the bus lane, would I be frustrated?
Yeah.
Sam's got a point he wants to make. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning, Frank.
Sam, you're talking taxis.
Yes, I'm phoning up basically because for 19 years I was a taxi driver. I worked for one of the big two in Belfast, and then I left the company and decided to work for myself in and around Lisburn. The great thing about working for yourself, of course, is that you are classed as a public taxi driver outside Belfast city limits, which meant that I was driving what would have been classed as an ordinary car, but I was allowed to park on a public rank in Lisburn. That meant that I could pick people up off the street, and if somebody hailed me, I could stop and pick them up as well. But that was outside Belfast city limits. I'm just wondering if that's still the case, and if you are a public hire taxi driver outside Belfast city limits, and somebody flags me down and says, could you go into Belfast for me? You're still classed as a public driver outside Belfast. Would you be able to use the lane as you come into Belfast?
My understanding from a conversation I had earlier this morning, and I'm no expert when it comes to answering a question like that, but taking it from the taxi driver who was calling us from Dundonald, he's in a similar position when he's out of town, and I think he is, he lives on the, from what he was saying, outside town, but when he comes as far as the bus lanes, he then becomes private hire. That's the impression I got. So I presume when you would get as far as the bus lanes, even though you picked up as public hire in Lisburn, if you're dropping in Belfast, when you arrive at our bus lanes, you then become private hire. I'm open to guidance on it, but putting two and two together, I think we'd both agree that's probably the way it is.
It probably is. It's just, as you say, I was a driver for 19 years and then I quit 2 years ago and started my own firm instead, doing something completely different. But it was just that there was so many things going on in the taxi world. There was new training coming in to sort of teach you how to deal with passengers and how to deal with people who had disabilities and so on like that. And you know, again, this was, without wanting to sound harsh, it was almost like teaching your grandmother to suck eggs, as they say. You know, I mean, you had been doing the job for 19 years. I'd been picking up disabled people with problems. And I was almost sort of an agony uncle for a lot of people because they tell you all their problems and everything that's wrong with them physically and mentally as well sometimes. And, you know, you become a friend to a lot of your passengers. And taking people to doctor's appointments and appointments in Belfast City Centre, again, you were classed as public hire, then private hire. And it was getting a bit too hard for me for the years that was doing those what I thought was kind of silly new implementation of rules that were just basically asking people to pay extra money to go for training for, that they already knew.
Yeah, you just got frustrated with it. Sam, thank you. Thank you indeed. You taxi guys who are listening there, is my analysis and Sam's analysis right? If so, feel free. Let us know if we're wrong, of course. If your public hire outside Belfast, once you arrive in the city limits, do you automatically become private hire if you have one of the standard cars? 0289033105. Another question for you, just on the back of what Sam said there about teaching his granny to suck eggs. Do any of you have a granny who can suck eggs? I would like to talk to her. I've never met a granny yet that could have given me an exhibition of egg sucking. So if you know one, take a picture of her sucking away, and I'm more than happy to put it up on our Twitter feed. Andrew's got a point. Good morning, Andrew.
Morning, Frank. How's yourself?
Very well, Andrew. What's on your mind?
Good, good, good. Well, just when you talk about granny sucking eggs, my granny was able to suck eggs, but unfortunately, she sucked too hard and one of them went down her throat and killed her, so it's not a good idea to do. I would highly recommend against it.
Yes, I presume you are jesting. God forgive you.
Yeah.
What is sucking eggs?
I haven't got the first clue.
You know, they teach your granny to suck eggs. I don't even know what sucking an egg is, and I'm darn sure I don't know a granny who can do it.
No, I'm afraid I don't know either. But no, my point was, it was about the bus lanes and whatnot. I didn't used to be a fan of them when I was a driver. And then through circumstances, I now have to use them because I'm not allowed to drive anymore. And they're fantastic, right? Really, I think they're just the best thing that's been introduced ever. It's so handy to get in and out of town. I don't understand why anybody wouldn't use them when they've got the opportunity. But you see the glider. When you get on the glider, wherever you get on, are you handcuffed to the seat? Are you put in a cage of some description that the bus driver locks until you get to your final destination? I doubt it. The reason I ask is because all these shop owners are saying that they need multi-storey car parks outside their businesses in order for customers to access the shop. Surely to goodness, you can just push the wee button on the bus driver stops, and you get off and go to the shop and buy your sausages. Like, I've done it in cities all around the world, and it's not rocket science.
Yeah, but hold on. Yeah, but Andrew.
And you get off the bus and you get your stuff.
Yeah, but hold on. Let's not mislead the people, or maybe I'm the only person that doesn't realise this. You can't do that on the glider.
Why not?
You can't stop it wherever you like. It stops.
No, you can't. It stops, of course. It stops. But that stops in Belfast there every 100 yards, for goodness sake. I get the bus home and I cannot believe that people won't walk 150 yards between stops. I mean, it's crazy. They stop at every hole in the hedge.
They're not that close. Are they? Hold on. I'm open to guidance. I've never been on the glider. I'm rarely on the buses. So I don't know how often the stops are, but they're not every 150 metres going up the Newton Arch Road.
Honest to goodness, the Albert Bridge Road, when you're coming across toward Conswater, there must be 12 stops on it. And to walk the whole road would take you 10 minutes. It's crazy. So I don't understand why shops need to have multi-stories outside for people to go and get a pound of sausages. It's madness.
Yeah, but
just leave it for the buses. And, you know, the private hire guys, there's too many of them to be in the bus lanes. Public ones are different. They're taking multiple people on journeys. But if you're a private hire taxi and you need to be in a bus lane, then your passenger should be on the bus.
Yeah, but hold on. You're dismissing the people along the roads who are running businesses. Like, I'm just thinking, if I wanted to buy a speaker from a shop that sells electrical goods along the Newton Arch Road, and there is one, it's in my mind.
There is, yeah.
If I wanted to go in there to buy a speaker, I'm not going to go on the blimmin' glider to do it. So if it's on the bus lane, how am I going to park?
But I mean, if it's a larger purchase, I'm sure you can get the thing organised. I'm sure if it's a speaker that's that heavy that you can't take it on a bus, you could probably get it delivered. Or if you're going to buy a wardrobe, you're not going to take it out and stick it on the roof of a taxi.
Yeah, but it would drive you nuts, if you have to go shopping on the bus all the time. I think, you know, we're dissing car drivers here. We have to be careful not to do that.
It's an awful lot easier to get a wheelchair onto a bus than it is to get onto a taxi, even an accessible taxi. It's so much easier to get onto a bus with a wheelchair or a guide dog or one of those wee mobility aids or whatever you have. It's an awful lot easier to get onto a bus than it is to get into a wheelchair. So I think they're looking at it in the right way. Try and encourage as many folk to get on it as possible. I mean, the buses now have got charging sockets for your phones. The glider's got Wi-Fi. It's got everything you possibly need. And it's so relaxing and you have nothing to worry about. You just sit there, and when you get to your place of wherever, you get off. And it's, I mean, it's just really basic and very, very simple. I don't know why there's such an outcry about it.
Okay, yeah, if you listen, the staff who used it this morning on the way in to work here were absolutely full of praise for the glider service, particularly Leanne, who had travelled a long distance on it, and she was saying, this is excellent. You know, she was full of vim about it, and she's actually from Canada, and she was saying, this is great, this is really, really good. So, you know, we're getting very positive feedback from people that we're talking to face-to-face. I've had other feedback from friends who are full of positivity about it as well. Do you mind me asking you why you're not driving, Andrew? Are you not allowed to drive for some medical reason, or have you been banned from the roads?
No, to be honest, I managed to rack up quite a few points when I was driving, but it turned out that it was an eyesight condition that I'm now registered blind. I kept driving in the city buses, which was probably a bad idea because you're supposed to be able to see those.
You have a great sense of humour, fella. You really have. You really have.
I genuinely did.
Did you genuinely get points for bad driving because you couldn't see?
Yes. I did. I had 9 points on my licence. One of them, I came home from a gig early in the morning and it was quite frosty, and I had my head out the window because I couldn't see through the windscreen because it was too sort of frosty, and I managed to clip a car on the wrong side of the road, and the judge said that he could understand that the window was foggy but you should have been on your own side of the road kind of thing, and I tried to explain that I couldn't see properly, but he wasn't that interested.
I do hope your sight improves, but I'll just be straight with you. I'm glad you're not driving.
It's only going to get worse.
All right, well, I do.
But yeah, it's a better job.
Yeah, you have a great spirit with it, because that's a challenge in any person's life. But thanks, Andrew. Thank you.
All right, Frank, no problem. Thanks, bye.
Great positivity in his voice. And you know, you don't realise the challenges that people are facing. This is the Frank Mitchell phone-in, easing our way through the day.